That all of in of itself is weird. But once again, I'm going to remind you all, as I have mentioned in the past episodes, I believe I mentioned way back when I was doing Habakkuk, that the word for tumor in the one of the original words and meanings can mean a swelling, or the root word means to burn, a boil or ulcer from the inflammation, especially a tumor in the anus or the rectum.
It's a hemorrhoid.
Other words, and in the King James, it's called, they literally use the word hemorrhoid. So what I'm saying is we got some golden hemorrhoids being sent back. There's golden hemorrhoids in the Bible, y'all.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I'm not a, like a pastor that does the children's sermons, you know, at church, because I would all be all over the golden hemorrhoids.
Yes.
Come here, kids. We could make them as a craft. That could be a vacation Bible school craft.
Crafts first. Yes.
You guys, yes. That's another good idea. This is week two of good ideas.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 175
welcome.
Of Designer Cornbread.
Hey, welcome, Cornbread.
Cornhead.
Don't start this again. Do not start this.
Okay.
I demand respect. Well, what has been going on with you? We are now in March, you guys.
It is March.
Yep. February is over.
Springtime's coming.
Spring. We made it.
Yes, and I am ready for spring. I'm just going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I love the winter. I really do. I love the slowdown. But all it takes is a little blooming and some sunshine.
Yes, ma'am.
And a few warm breezes to go. All right. I'm done with you, winter. Go away.
I know. Get out of here.
Now.
But that's what's always so great, though, because I'm always living place with four seasons, man. I don't know that I could do anything else. Maybe as I get like even older, like just dealing with winter can be a lot, you know, but if you live in the right kind of building or place, you know, where maybe you don't have to do that.
Yeah. I would like, so living in the South, I mean, and we're in Tennessee, but we're Southern Tennessee. I would like a little more fall than what we get.
I'm going to be honest. Missouri is one of the best.
Yeah.
Missouri is one of the best. We are right smack dab in the middle of the country, y'all. But don't come here if you're going to be weird. Stay where you are. Stay where you are. It's terrible here. We only like to let certain people know. People will come and visit. It's always so funny. We've had numerous like friends of Thatcher's and different people, you know. Come and visit St. Louis, who had never been really, or just visiting St. Louis, let alone, and even in like February, we even had people come in like February and they're like, this St. Louis is great. And we're like,
Yeah. I do. St. Louis is my favorite city. And you know, I don't like cities. And so for me to like St. Louis,
I know
that says something.
I know. Anyway, it's a, you know, I like it. I like the, now, I mean, we complain. It doesn't mean don't be fooled and think that I'm not going to complain when it's the hot heat of summer and the mosquitoes and I can't go in my yard and I still will complain.
No.
So don't get it twisted.
It's just God making you uncomfortable so that you'll look forward to the next season.
That's right. That is what I say. Actually, that's one of the things that I, realized for myself and then try to pass on to younger parents who are starting to deal with kids learning to drive, because that's a whole situation. And it's nerve, the fact that we are like, yes, we get brave enough and to teach our children how to drive behind a car and then release them to do that, it's only because you've been crazy driving them around so much. You know, like that's those early teen years. And if they're in any sports and orchestra and party and all the things, and you're driving them everywhere so much that you're like, yes, yes, Lord, I'm ready. And let me turn them loose.
How nice is it to you when you can look at them and say, hey, go grab a gallon of milk, and you don't have to go do that.
It's just, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's nerve, but that's what I'm saying. The only reason you can get to where you can allow your child, who may or may not be brushing their teeth consistently yet, to get behind a 2-ton vehicle and unsupervised. The only reason you can do that is because the Lord has made you crazy. Cause you're crazed to not be in that car 24/7.
That's right.
So won't he do it? Well, what else is happening down there in old Savannah?
I'm going to tell you that I am loving some Mississippi State baseball, but this UCLA game yesterday just about put me down.
Oh, what? I didn't watch. Tell us everything.
We did lose in overtime. Oh. We lost in overtime. And I'll be honest with you, it was so heartbreaking. I just don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Okay. She's got a little PTSD. We don't.
UCLA is number one in the country.
They're a good team. Yeah, I did know that.
State is number four. And we tied them. So this was like it wasn't a series. It was a tournament. And so it went on and on, you know, all weekend. And so, and it was not televised. Caleb, you can pay to get it. Caleb paid it. But so I'm old school listening on the radio.
Yes, you are. Yes, ma'am.
And so I'm listening to it and I'm, you know, just hanging on to it. And at one point we tied them. Nobody in the entire tournament out of all these college teams even tied UCLA.
Oh, you're kidding.
And then we went up by 2 runs.
Oh.
And then in the ninth.
They had a walk-off?
We had the bottom. They just got two. Yeah, guys.
They tied it up. Oh, okay.
Tied it up. You know,
how do they do overtime? Do they do just extra innings like normal baseball?
Yes, extra inning. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So. It was a heartbreaker.
It really is. But you get, at the same time, you're like so happy that they did that well.
Yeah, that they did that well. And this is the first game that we've lost.
Oh, I mean, wow. Really?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. That's our first game. Just stupid UCLA.
A stupid UCLA. What are they doing? Well, so, that's a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it is. I am loving. So, y'all, I love sports. I mean, I love all of them. And I really, really used to love basketball. Mm-hmm. But this year, I'm out.
Same.
And I don't know. I've kind of been out for a couple of years. And mm-hmm. I think I'm trying to decide why, because I loved our high school basketball. I love college basketball. Yep. I love, you know, I'm not big into professional basketball, but for sure high school and college. And frankly, basketball is one of those things that I forget how much I like it until mm-hmm. I start watching it. Mm-hmm. You know, but Ron used to film the high school games. And the football games. I mean, all the games he would film. And so we would go to every football game in town, out of town, and then basketball in town, out of town. And we would play on Tuesdays and Fridays. And I think I got burnt out having to travel.
That could be.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know why.
But now all you have to do is travel to your couch and grab your blanket.
I know. And so I'm kind of out on basketball. But baseball, I am all in. I am all in. And I'm loving Mississippi State baseball. So,
well, that's exciting. Well, listen, any weekend that you want to get tickets for us in April or May to head down to?
Yeah, it may be.
I think the tickets are going to get harder and harder to get the longer you wait.
They are, because that's when we start playing our SEC teams.
Exactly.
My problem with April and May, though, comes in that I'm a senior sponsor.
Oh, so you've got a million extra things.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to have to do prom, I'm going to have to do grad, I'm going to have to do, they're just all these things. But I can look and see.
I mean, just let me know, because I'm really open once. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty open through April and May weekends.
You can come down and be my prom date. You want me to do like a promposal for you?
I would. I'd like a full. I'm not going unless I get a full promposal. I mean, I want a dance number. I want a Cheweenie. I want a Siamese twins to show up.
Yes.
Sumo. I want it all. I want someone parachuting, preferably you parachuting out of a.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. Then I'll consider it.
Prom? Yeah. Aren't you glad? Let's just talk about promposals for a second. Because we're kind of coming into that season. Mm-mm. Aren't you glad we didn't have all the promposal?
Let me tell you what. I would have died.
Oh, I would have too.
I would have curled up into a ball. Mm-hmm. And died. Now, that's just my personality. Other personalities do other things. And I guess it's different. It's different if you're like dating someone. Even then, though, it seems weird to do. But like, you know what I mean? Like if you're kind of going steady, you might, maybe that's something fun to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, when I was a senior, I actually was best friends with a guy who was a junior. And it was just kind of that. Are we friends? Are we dating? Are we? So I knew really that's who I wanted to go to prom with, but it's not junior senior prom. It was only senior prom. Mm. So I'm the one that had to do the asking, you know? And so,
oh, cause he was younger.
He was younger.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And we were not officially date. We were just friends. And I was terrified.
Oh my God.
I mean, terrified to even ask him to go to prom with me. If I had to put on like a big production of some sort of promposal,
I know.
I guess
other people involved and then be seen by everybody doing it.
Yeah, no.
Like the rejection factor is already. This has got to be for just people that are like either super extroverted, right? Like I don't know with John Garrett. he's a perfect promposal type of
yes,
because he doesn't care and he's out there and he just. Yeah. Would have fun with it. Either that or either someone, like I said, that you're dating pretty steady and you know.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine having to do all that.
No.
And risk a bit. And then even as the girl, you feel so like, what if you don't want to go with the dude?
I know.
And we already are totally socialized to be like so sweet. And how many of us have gone on dates with people? We did not want to go, but we just felt bad and didn't want to make them feel bad. So we end up on a date. So you're going to end up at prom because you don't want someone to feel bad. I can't do it. It's too much.
Yes.
Died. Yes. Kudos to you people, young people. If you're doing that and loving that. And again, some people probably really love it. Kudos to you, but man, absolutely not. That would have put me out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. I'm out.
Oh,
and all the cameras now, the video and the, you know.
Oh, you'd be viral. You'd be on the whatever before you even got the answer. Mm-hmm. Oh my word. Yeah. And then I can't. Like I said, the pressure is too much. It's just too much. But anyway, I don't know anything about that. I know I've been watching Shakespeare and Hathaway. You got me back in it.
Yes. Yeah. I like it. I like it. You know,
I started back from the beginning. I'd already seen most of all the seasons, but I was like, let me just start it over. It's my bedtime show.
You know, Father Brown has a new series out.
I do. I saw that and I'm saving it because we're going to be out of town. And so I'm going to want a real comforty nighttime show and that'll be my nighttime show.
Well, I've watched a couple.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I've always watched Father Brown like in the summer when I get out of the pool.
That's your get out of the pool show.
I get out of the pool and I'm had too much sun and I just want to go lay in the bed and watch.
Right. And you just kind of get all in the dark and the cool and you get your dry caftan on and you go watch some Father Brown.
Watch Father Brown. Right.
I know, but I don't think I can wait that long, but that's why we can watch reruns.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I went down to Startpole yesterday.
Oh yeah.
So it did. It was, John Garrett's birthday was Saturday and he was doing a bunch of stuff with his group. He's got a good group of RUF friends. Mm. And so I think they were doing stuff, I don't know, Saturday on his birthday. So Ron and I went down Sunday and went to church with him and took the RUF crew out, you know, I wanted to go to Little Dewey's.
Oh.
But he wanted to go to pizza somewhere, Lost Creek River Pizza or something, I don't know.
Well, it was his birthday, so you let him pick.
His birthday. I know.
So nice.
I don't ever get down to Startville. Wanted little Dewey's.
I'm sorry. It's not all about you, Joni.
I know.
Oh, darn it. Okay.
Come it. Anyway, and my goal after we ate, I wanted to go walk around campus, but we didn't know it at the time, but we found out that like the night before that a friend of ours was preaching Sunday night. So we just kind of, I ran by the bookstore and grabbed some Easter gifts and we ran home. So I didn't get to walk around campus.
Oh, you came up from here back home at your home church. Someone was, yes. Okay. Well,
night service. They were doing the night service.
I got you. Okay.
So that was what I did yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's been about the most thrilling part of my week.
That's pretty thrilling. Yeah. I mean, the only thrilling that I finally, after putting it on my list, like every day for the last 2 weeks, got the last Christmas tree down. So I'm feeling good.
I did that too.
Right, it's in the nick of time.
Yeah. We talked about that last week.
We did.
Now that I'm uncovering the pool, I think it's time to put the final, the winter tree.
The winter. And yes, let's clarify. This last one that I had, I was calling it, it's a winter tree because it was just white lights and pine cone ornaments and pine cones on it. And it was very pretty and made me happy. But now that it's March and I didn't want to come back, we're going to be out of town for a minute and a little bit. And I didn't want to come back and it'll be like, well into March and then have to do that. So I finally got that done. I feel pretty good about myself. You know, that's about it. That's all I've done. And then it got cold again. So I'm like, I don't want to think. I needed to talk to you about something in the Bible.
Okay.
Y'all, the Bible is weird. It's got the weirdest stuff that you'll ever read. So I got to tell you the story, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, but it's kind of a lot odd. And the detail, one of the details, I was telling it to Avery after, because she called me the day I had just done this in my Bible study time. I had just done this chapter. And I was like, Avery, let me tell you. I got to tell you something. So in the book of 1 Samuel, there at the towards the beginning in like chapter 5 and 6, it tells a story of course, that's when all the Hebrews, Israel's fighting the Philistines, and this is all pre-David, you know. This is when Samuel kind of obviously becomes the main prophet and all that. So he, so Israel's fighting Philistine, and they lose a little bit. So they're like, oh, man, darn it. I know God's mad at us because we got to bring the Ark of the Covenant, and we got to take that out into battle. Yeah, that's what we got to do. And the elders are like, yeah, we got to do that. So they send the Ark of the Covenant out to the battlefield to fight the Philistines again. And this time the Philistines really womp their butts and like 30,000 people die. Eli's sons die and the Ark gets captured. So it was real bad. It was a real bad idea. So the Ark gets captured. They take it back to one of the cities in the Philistine territory, and they put the Ark in the temple of Dagon, their one of their gods, their lead god, and that was like the custom to do when you defeated a country or whatever. If they had an idol or something depicting that god of that country, they would put it at the feet of their god to be like, ha ha, we showed you, we beat you, our god's better than your god. And then so they put it there. And then the next morning, the little Philistine people come in and their Dagon statue is toppled over, is tipped over. So they're like, oh, man. So they prop him back up and they stand him back up and then they put the, do you like my voices?
I do, yeah.
they put the Ark back at the feet. And then the next morning, same thing happened. The statue of Dagon was tipped over. So they're like, ugh. So then they do it one more time. And the next morning they come in and the statue of Dagon's tipped over and his head and his hands are broken off and laying in the threshold of the temple. And then they're like, oh, this is really bad. So again, that was symbolism of a decapitation and not hand of a helpless god, right? Anyway, so then they're like, and then, oh yeah. And then they break out in all kinds of tumors and rats cut, all this bad stuff happened. So they're like, get this out of our city, send it over there to that city. So they send it over to another Philistine city, and the same thing happens. Tumors, rats, all kinds of stuff. They're like, we don't want this either. Send it over there. So they keep sending it to all these little cities. And finally, they're like, man, this is bad. We got to send this back.
Give it back to them.
we got to give this thing back, right? Finally. They're like, their hand of their God is heavy on us, and we got to give it back. And then they're like, okay, so how do we do that? And then they're like, okay, we can't just give it back. We also need to send a guilt offering to be like, which is also a common practice. Sometimes they'd dress up an animal, or they'd send captives, or they'd send, you know, whatever, to kind of say, my bad.
Take it back.
My bad.
Fall off the curse.
Like, oh, you know, mea culpa, you know, no hard feelings. Just kidding, JK. So, they make this special cart, and they do this cow thing and all that, which is all very interesting story. The whole thing is crazy. But they decide to send. Here's the part that you just go, they are like, man, what should we send? They, you know, talk to their little elders, and they're like, what should we send back? And the elders are like, I know.
It's a squishy Olympic symbol.
Oh, it's a beanie baby. It's beanie an Olympic. Baby. We should send an Olympic beanie baby.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's even better. We should send this plushy dog toy back, and that'll make them happy. No, they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, and we're going to put those in the ark and send them back to them. So you're like, golden. So they craftsmen fashioned these gold tumors and golden mice or rats, 5 each, and put them in the ark to send, and then put it on this cart with this cow and sent it back. That all of in of itself is weird. But once again, I'm going to remind you all, as I have mentioned in the past episodes, I believe I mentioned way back when I was doing Habakkuk, that the word for tumor in the one of the original words and meanings can mean a swelling, or the root word means to burn, a boil or ulcer from the inflammation, especially a tumor in the anus or the rectum.
It's a hemorrhoid.
Other words, and in the King James, it's called, they literally use the word hemorrhoid. So what I'm saying is, we got some golden hemorrhoids being sent back. There's golden hemorrhoids in the Bible, y'all.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I'm not a pastor that does the children's sermons, you know, at church, because I would all be all over the golden hemorrhoids.
Yes.
Come here, kids. We could make them as a craft. That could be a vacation Bible school craft.
Crafts first. Yes.
You guys, that's another good idea. This is week 2 of good ideas.
A vacation Bible, that's 100% what I'm doing. We're going to make golden hemorrhoids.
You could make that. That could be a snack. That could be a craft.
Disgusting. Do you know how disgusting that is?
You know you love it so much. And you know those kids would love it.
I don't know that they would love it.
They would. The boys would.
They might.
The boys, yeah. The boys would be like, this is great. Get some yellow Play-Doh and make, yes. I can, yeah. Golden trademark.
A snack is not, that's not appetizing.
Like popcorn ball, like some kind of popcorn.
Gosh.
I don't know. I don't know, you guys. I think it's a good idea.
Caramel popcorn balls.
Yes, it could be the golden hemorrhoids.
Right. So anyway. I actually, right before I came upstairs to do this podcast, I was reading about King Asa, and, you know, he got a disease in his feet and died. You know, I mean, the whole thing is that he did not seek the Lord's help. He sought only help from the physicians, and he died. He died from it 2 years later. And I just quickly Googled. I've not done a deep dive into this. I just quickly Googled, because sometimes somebody else has researched it. I just, what was his foot disease, or what did they, you know, what are they thinking he might have had? You know, one was gout, one was gangrene, one was, you know, they had these, I mean, of course, nobody knows, but
right.
I thought they may have some insight into it. But what I found fascinating, and I'd forgotten about this, he put, they said, it may be symbolic. I mean, not he did have the foot disease, but he put a prophet's feet in a stockade. And then he got a foot, and I just went,
oh,
it is mine to avenge.
Yes,
and I
God
will repay, says the Lord. Thus saith the Lord.
He did it. He said, I'm going to show you some ironic justice. I like that. I like that a lot.
That was just a quick little thing I did before coming up here.
As one does. Sometimes you read about kings that have foot diseases. You guys, the Bible is so weird. If you have not gotten in the, and I'm always, this is what's so funny too. Even as a kid growing up, I was just an Old Testament girly. I love me some Old Testament. It's full of weird.
One of my favorite things that I love to tell kids too is when, I just lost it. Who was going up the mountain? Was it Samuel? Who was going, and the bears came out and attacked the kids?
Elijah or Elisha or somebody, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Anyway, he's going up the mountain and the kids all came out and started making fun of him.
Oh, yeah.
Go up, old baldy. Go up, old baldy. And he turned around and a bear came out of the woods and attacked the children.
Yeah, you guys, it's fun. It's great.
Making fun of bald men.
Don't make fun of them. It's great stuff. The Old Testament, you got to get back up in there because it's really, it's full of some talking donkeys and golden hemorrhoids.
Go up, old baldy.
And name calling.
Yeah.
And it's got some good stuff. So the New Testament's good too, but I was always like, what in the world?
What is going on?
What is going on? So... Oh, I mean, on a slightly other note, I was thinking the other day, you know, we've talked and we'll continue to circle back to it as we feel like it or get, you know, different insights about our emotional resilience and all that kind of stuff that we're, you know, kind of, I've been thinking about and working on, noticing that I need to work on that, and want to work on that. And, one of the things that the other day, one of the most effective ways to help build that resilience and increase that, this is going to sound really basic, and some of y'all will be like, duh, but is to be willing to feel all the feelings. And it's just one of those things, when you really think about it, you know, we spend so much time trying to avoid, you know, feeling the quote negative, the hard emotions. Like, they're not fun, right? They don't feel good. They are hard and unpleasant. So we spend so much time trying to kind of avoid feeling that. So when they start to come up, we'll distract ourselves, or we'll numb, or we'll ignore it, or we'll take some other kind of action to just like temporarily get rid of it, to avoid it. And just how that alters the way that we show up and how we behave and how we act. But it doesn't actually help us to process that emotion. It just puts it in our body and goes, okay, she's not wanting to deal with that right now. So we're just going to kind of put this over here, and it's going to, you know, you do that enough, it's going to come up, it's going to come out some different ways. So just, I don't know, I've been really thinking a lot about that, because I think that's something that I personally have really, really struggled with, is because I even had to ask on one of my calls the other day, I was asking the lady, the coach, anyway, and I was like, I'm going to need a little more insight into how to process emotion. I don't understand what, like, you know, when people say sit with your emotions, I'm like, what is that? What do you mean? What does that mean? I don't like that. What are you talking about? So it's been interesting, because I think especially if you're someone who, and even like thinking through, you know, we've talked about our thoughts and how important our thoughts are and our thought life and how that impacts our emotions and our feelings and how important that is. But what I found myself doing and realized was that I will immediately skip to get a new thought. When I start to feel the emotion, right, I start to feel the negative, whatever, that doesn't feel good, that feels uncomfortable, my now gut reaction is to, okay, let me get a new thought about that so that I don't have to feel that. And that's not really what, it's a kind of a temporary thing, but it's kind of like short circuiting that cycle of feeling the thing and letting it, because then once it moves through you, once you allow it, it's interesting because as they say, like the more we resist it, and I've seen this 100% in my life, the more I resist that emotion, the harder it feels. It feels really, really hard and really scary. Like, I think that's what a lot of us struggle with is, you know, I've heard people say, I can't go there because I'm afraid I won't come back from it. You know what I mean? Like, you feel it so much that you're like, I'm not sure I'm going to be okay. And that's really scary. I mean, that's a real scary thing, but it just is interesting to kind of think about, the more we're willing to feel it, we're okay. Go, okay, I'm willing to feel all the emotions. I'm willing to feel disappointment. I'm willing to feel guilt. I'm willing to feel shame. I'm willing to feel embarrassed. You know, I'm willing to feel that feeling because that's not going to kill me. Right. I'll be okay, but I'm willing to feel it so that it can move through. You know, it's kind of like naming, you know, for Harry Potter fans, you know, he who should not be named, you know, that denial, that was like, that's kind of one of the messages of that movie, you know, the power of saying Voldemort and just putting it out there instead of being afraid, it gives that thing more power and more control over your life is what I think it, right? Because if we're avoiding it, then it's like, we'll do whatever to avoid that.
Yeah. I think it's also important. Though, I mean, I 100% you need to feel those. Mm-hmm. You need to deal with that. But I think it's also equally important that you don't just dwell on it.
Yes.
You can also, you know, drown in those, especially negative emotions. Mm-hmm. You can drown there.
And you can.
And really, that is where your relationship with the Lord is so important. Mm-hmm. Because you can take all those emotions and give them to Him, mm-hmm. and release a lot of that.
Yep. To Him,
instead of, you know, just dwelling and wallowing, I guess is what I'm is
ruminating.
What I'm,
yes. You know, continually bringing it up and chewing and ruminating and
and never coming to a solution, never coming to where you really let it go.
Right.
You know, so.
Yes, that's a good point, because that's the whole point of the creation cycle of that thought leads to your emotions and feelings, which then lead you to do certain actions, which then reinforces a thought, right? We've talked about that. But if you're not, if you're just wallowing, like you said, if you're just stuck in that, you can be stuck in that cycle of, because you feel the things and then you do the actions and then you just, it leads you right back to the same thought. My life sucks and this is hard and I can't, blah, 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 which then leads to the same thing. So at some point you have to, what you're saying, you have to interrupt that. And you can interrupt it anywhere on the cycle. Actually, you can interrupt it by choosing, I'm going to do a different action.
And it's also where it's important to let gratitude play a part in that. Mm-hmm. You know, because what you're going through is difficult. It's hard, but where's the positive? What good things have come from that? Or where is this leading you? I mean, just like, you know, going back to the Old Testament, they wandered around in the desert for 40 years, you know, but what's the positive? I mean, that's miserable. It was miserable. Well, what was the positive?
Right.
Your shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out, and they were being led to freedom. It took 40 years.
Yep, but they were being cared for, and they were being cared for in that hard. And that's the thing to remember, that you're being cared for, you know, when the emotion comes that you think you just are not going to, and I've been there, I've 100% been there. So when it comes that you just are like, I don't know when that, whatever happens, when I'm going, how I'm going to be able to handle that if I am. And through a lot of things, but certainly not least with, you know, knowing that your relationship with God, that you know He's not going to leave you you know, he's promised not to leave you or forsake you, and you will, he will see you through that, and you're not going to, you know, die because you have a, you know, because you have hard emotions and feelings, you know, you can, and I think that's so important. Again, you know, it's important for all of us because, I mean, let's just face it. All of us know a lot of older people who are miserable. Yeah. They're miserable. They're miserable in their lives. They make everyone else miserable around them. They're just miserable. So it's not always that with age comes wisdom and growth. It doesn't always happen. But when I think about young people, you know, people you're teaching, the kids, you know, high school, what I wish I would have known in high school, what I wish I, and I was fairly level-headed. I'll just put it that way. I don't know. You know, I had a family that talked about things, you know, pretty well and allowed discussion and allowed, you know, I wasn't, but, you know, just, I think, adults are as well, but like young people are losing the ability to feel, to be okay, to feel rejection. Well, like it's okay. Promposal. This is your perfect time to practice feeling rejected.
And again, it, you know, the screens really are because it's a distraction. So yeah. You start to feel something. Well, you don't have to feel it because you can boom, be distracted.
Absolutely.
By
it feels good. We turn to something else to give us, and it can be a variety of things. It could be shopping, food, screens, you know.
I said the other day, I said, I miss wondering because, you know, you would sit, or when we were young, you would sit and wonder, you know, why does that work? Or how does that happen? And I can remember, especially sitting on the dock at the lake and just wondering about something. Well, now you've got the magic box. I mean, just like Ace's feet, I just grabbed my phone and was like, you know,
right.
I'd have to wonder what disease did he have? I mean, not that I got an answer, but I mean, I knew like that, what the experts said.
Which isn't all bad,
but
I mean, that's a great gift we've been given.
Has its plus and its minus.
It does. It does. And I just feel like, you know, that, I don't know. I feel for kids because I want, you know, it's such a hard time, you know, growing up and doing all that and the awkward years and the social ramifications in junior high and high school and grade school, they're just so different. And they're not, in some ways they are the same as they are in your grown up life. You'll find you always have some of those same types of folk are still around, but you don't have to like deal with, like you can kind of, you know, choose differently or, you know, and you don't quite feel the same, but you know, I don't know. I just think that resilience of like, it's okay to feel, and I think as parents and I think as grownups, we've done a lot of disservice to kids of, you know, and we've talked about this before. We don't need to go on a big tangent, but you know, the trophy era and everyone's winning and everyone's doing things, man, like that's like, we've just taken away half of what like sports teaches you about life is that you can lose and be a big fat loser and be just fine.
Okay. Go on to the next one.
And maybe you win the next time. And then you get to practice being a good winner. And then you get to, because you know what it felt like to, you know, and I know kids still do that. I know kids are still winning and losing and doing sports. I mean, I understand that that's still happening, but you know, this kind of protection from feeling, I think that has been a disservice.
That's been a disservice.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
We have to guide them through those feelings.
Yes.
Guide them through those feelings.
Don't take them away because eventually they're going to have to deal with it and you may not be there. So,
well, yeah. What's going to happen when no one's there to tell them, you know, it's that other person's fault and you're perfect and there's nothing wrong and I'll go talk to the whoever and fix it for you. What's going to happen when that doesn't happen?
I also will say, I think the family dynamic has changed so much that it's hurting our children. In that not every home was safe, you know, by any means, but it was more of a refuge way back when. You know, you had less women who worked. And so when you came home, the latchkey kids were not as much of a big thing. Either mom was home or grandmama was home. Somebody was there after school. You weren't walking into an empty house. you had a safe space to go to. Mm-hmm. You had, or at least I did, you know, and again,
our generation is the first that were the latchkey kids. That was a lot of our age group were the ones that came home to an empty house. So,
and now you have an even greater percentages of dad's not in the home of, you know, all these things. And the struggle is greater, you know, and both parents are working, they're having to work a lot. And it's just, you don't have that safe space anymore, you know, or where you can express whatever happened in your day and a parent be able to guide you through it. Mm-hmm. Now it's, let me run home from work, throw in some supper and have homework, and we got to take a bath, and we're not, and nobody's, and you I know, think, the I think, eating at the table to break all that day down. That's not happening. You know, when I ask my students, how many of you sit down at the table and eat with your family? It may be one out of 20 kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
And that was not the norm for sure. Yeah. That was not the, I mean, it would happen some, but like.
You know, and honestly, that's where we had a lot of conversation.
Yep.
Around the family table.
Yep.
And anyway, so. Yeah. There are a lot of things that we need to go back to that we've abandoned.
And I think a lot of people, again, I think there's people that are definitely, and I think the pressures on parents that, like you said, have to work, like both are working. Like, I think that's just such a huge amount of, you know, they really have a lot of pressure on them. So I, you know, that makes it harder, but, I think there's parents that are, and I even see the younger generations turning back to a lot of just a different, because they grew up and their friends grew up and they saw, you know, some of that. And I think they're kind of deciding, hey, I don't know that I want to do that.
You know, when we went to church in Starkville yesterday, which is, you know, and there were so many college kids there. And Holly, I just grinned and I laughed. I'm not laughing at them.
No.
But they were much more plain than we were. I mean, you know, of course the 80s was the big hair, the massive makeup, the, you know, dress to the nines and all that. They really, some of them even looked, you know, like they could have been Amish, you know, just a very, very little makeup, the, you know, just simple dresses. And there was one girl that turned around and she gave John Garrett she'd made a loaf of homemade sourdough bread and that she gave him for his birthday. You know, I mean, just these, and another girl that's in RUF, she's making all these sourdough breads.
Oh, I know these girls and their sourdough bread, you guys. It's amazing.
They're making scratch. They are. And I think there is a craving with these college kids.
There is.
To go back to there the simpler times.
There is. There's a whole movement, and I'm embracing it this year and really enjoying and thinking about it. But that analog, we've talked about that. These kids and these younger people in 30s, and they're like, let's do analog on some of these things because we have been, they just know it's a two, you crave an authentic. I found the other day, and I wasn't even ever a big newspaper reader, but I kind of miss a newspaper. Yes. Now, I know that's probably, you know, I'm not saying that that's going to come back.
John Garrett's church used hymnals. There was not a screen in the place. And this is a big, you know, Presbyterian church in Starkville. And I mean, and not an old timey one. It wasn't there were no screens. And I held a hymnal in my hand. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, I miss this.
The smell. And also, here's the thing. People, we're just off all kinds of, we're just having an old lady corner here. Here's the thing. Those screens up on the thing have the words. They don't have the music. So people are not learning how to even read music anymore. They don't even know what a staff, whereas when you look in a hymnal, like you can see notes going up and down. Like you can actually, and if you're someone that can read music, it's very easy to then know how the song's going to go. And we're losing that ability because it's just not common. Yeah. It's not common. Well, so
I mean, I was very pleased what I saw yesterday. I'm hoping that we're going to see a turnaround.
I really think so. And not every, again, it'll be different. It'll be, you know, it'll be slightly done differently, but I already see, I mean, I just can see it. I can see it in myself, but I see it in younger generations. I missed the newspaper that I didn't read. Like I said, I wasn't a big newspaper person, but I found a thing. I got served up something and I've ordered it's called the History Time or History something. I'll try to find it and link it. And it's just going to be a once a month, but it's a newspaper that's all filled with, it's like 24 pages, but filled with different articles on history. It's just all about history and artifacts, and which is like right up my alley. And I'm like, I saw that and I was like, oh, I would love to have a thing once a month to sit down and read interesting things and, you know, that I want to learn about and just a different, can I learn about that stuff on, you know, of course I can, but it's just a different modality. Our brains are not, there's all kinds of stuff you can get. If you go down to YouTube, not, you know, if you go get on your screen and go on YouTube, you can find all kinds of neat things though, inspiring about people putting together personal curriculums. Because they're going, I want to learn and I want to learn about this. And so this is how I put together this, you know, way for me to learn this and a couple books I'm going to read and a movie about it and a documentary. And it's like people are just craving researching knowledge. And I just think it's really great. I'm here for it. I'm excited. So we'll see. You can go read you about some golden hemorrhoids in the Word of God. I knew you'd enjoy it. I'll make you a big golden hemorrhoid necklace, like a charm.
No, I'm well aware of the golden hemorrhoids. Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for your recipe today?
I'm on my glasses so that
get close to your mic. I can't hear you very good.
Okay.
There we go. Better? That's so much better.
Let me pull up my recipe here. All right. It's March, so you know what that means. Patrick's Day is a coming.
The leprechauns are here.
It's the year of the month of my people.
Your people.
My people. My people. Okay, so this is a recipe called Dublin Coddle.
Okay. Okay, I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Dublin Coddle.
Okay.
Coddle means simmer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So here's what you're going to need is, and this was actually developed as a way to get you use your leftovers.
Oh, okay.
And you know, because they went through the famine, so they don't, it's been a long time since they've wasted anything.
Right.
So
what can you put your potato skins in and make it into food?
Right. Exactly. Okay. So now a traditional coddle, you don't brown your meat first.
Mm.
But you can, I think it would be better browned. So you can, but traditionally you just throw it all in the pot.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So it's 8 strips of thick cut bacon. You're going to cut it into 1-inch pieces, or if you're in Ireland, they're rashers.
Oh.
Bacon is rashers. Mm-hmm. Okay. But 8 strips of thick cut bacon, and then 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 yellow onions chopped, 4 cloves of garlic, 1 cup of chopped green onions. You may want a little more to save some to garnish it with. 1 cup of stout beer. Let me translate that for you. Guinness.
Just get you some Guinness.
Get you some Guinness. Mm-hmm. 1 cup of stout beer. Okay. 1 tablespoon of fresh thyme leaves. 1/2 cup of Italian parsley. Ground pepper to taste. 2 teaspoons of salt, or you can do that to taste too. A pinch of cayenne. 3 pounds of the Yukon Gold potatoes. You're going to peel those and half them. Just peeled and halved.
Okay.
4 cups of chicken broth and 6 large pork sausage links.
Oh my gosh, I'm so hungry right now. Now this really sounds so good.
I would probably use smoked sausage is probably what I would, that would be my go-to with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me give you the cooked version because I would brown my stuff. So first you are going to cook your bacon, just get you a Dutch oven. You know, Dutch oven is just a, I use a large cast iron kind of pot that has a little lid on it. That's a Dutch oven. And just put it on medium heat, and you're going to just cook your bacon. Just toss it, you know, every little bit. It'll take you about 10 minutes probably to get it evenly brown there. Then you're going to add your butter, onions, salt, and cook until your onions are soft and translucent. Add your garlic and green onions. And you remember, your garlic will burn quickly. It will cook quickly. So you just need that in there for no more than 2 minutes. 2 minutes may
even be. Yeah, I was going to say, most recipes, it's like 30 seconds of just sort of toss it. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Then you're going to pour in your beer. With that, you want to raise your heat to high, and you're going to cook it. Just stir it occasionally.
Now, how many beer? What beer did you say? How much? Two bottles? I heard two bottles, because while you're making it, you're sipping on the other one. Okay, carry on.
All right. Raise your heat to high and cook. Keep, you know, just stir it occasionally until your beer is reduced by about 75%.
Oh, okay. A lot. A lot.
So while your beer is reducing there, season it with your thyme, parsley, black pepper, salt, and your pinch of cayenne. And then once that is reduced, go ahead and add your potatoes and your broth and bring that to a simmer. Preheat your oven. I forgot this at the beginning. You need to go ahead and preheat your oven to about 300 degrees. Prick your sausage on both sides, and then add that to the top of all the other ingredients. It doesn't get mixed in. Just lay it on top of everything else. Put your cover on and place that pot in a preheated oven, or in the preheated oven, and cook for about 2.5 hours.
Oh, yummy.
We're not done. Then you remove the lid and you keep cooking uncovered for another hour.
But see, I said yummy because I can smell
it. I know.
I can smell after 2 hours of that in there, and you take that, you can just smell it.
And that rich beer, that stout beer smell.
Yes.
And then you're going to remove it from the oven and skim off any excess fat from the top, and then put them in bowls. And if you want to garnish it with your green onions, you can do that.
And you know what would go really good with that is some beer bread.
Beer bread. Yeah. Like it talks about bread. Serving it with a crusty bread. Beer bread is that. I think last year around March posted an Irish soda bread.
Soda bread. Yep.
Yeah. But a good bread. Yeah. But that is the Dublin coddle.
That sounds so good. Oh my gosh. I didn't even realize how hungry I was. And now I'm literally like, I can feel like I can smell it, but it's not here at my house. So I'm sort of sad.
No.
Excellent. Okay. It's also time for your top three.
Top three.
Is my top three. And my first one is hyacinth. I love when they start blooming. Oh. And right now down here, I don't know what it's doing up there.
Nothing.
The daffodils are coming up. Oh, I'm seeing daffodils everywhere. My hyacinth are coming up in my backyard, and they smell.
The smell of the hyacinth, I will buy a couple if I think, like, I let myself have that excuse of even just the grocery store ones when they're all out for Easter, just because one or two of those in your house
smells the entire.
It makes your whole living room and everything smell. So it's one of the best smells. I agree.
It is. All right. My second one is just hanging with my kids and their friends.
That's a good one.
Just the life that comes from it, the laughter, even just hearing their stories.
Yes.
You know, it's just love it.
It's such the reward.
Yeah.
Like we're reaping, not to get sentimental, but we're reaping a harvest that God has given, and it's a lot of fun.
It is. And my last one, there is a song, and this is not my favorite, but it leads into it. There's a song by the Indigo Girls, something about the Southland in the springtime, which I love, because there is something about the Southland in the springtime.
When God made me a Yankee, he was teasing.
So my last favorite is Mississippi Sunshine in the Spring.
That's a good one.
I don't like Mississippi Sunshine in the summer.
Nope.
But y'all, when we were driving down there, I mean, even just 3 hours makes such
a big difference.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going down there and I don't know. And I just thought, oh, that sunshine was hitting me and it was warm, and coming out of these cold months.
Yeah,
man, it was embracing.
I think that's great. You're exactly right. We're not really a big fan of it in August, but early March and March, April, that southern Mississippi sunshine.
It's just one of those things that you know it when you feel it.
Mm.
You know, but yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that just makes me, I'm all excited now for hyacinths and all the things. So hopefully we'll start to see. We got nothing blooming up here. We got nothing. It's gray.
Oh, it's starting down here. Yeah.
It was a mess. So we're hanging on. We're hanging on. So it'll be here. It always comes. It always does. All right. Well, thanks again, guys, for joining us for another riveting episode of Days of Designer Cornbread. Because these are the days of our lives.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
That was my story, too.
I know. That was mine, too. That was a good one. These kids don't even know what we're talking about. That's okay. Anyway, we will talk to you again next week. I'm sure we'll have more things to say. I'm sure we'll have more weather corner. You know, who knows? You just don't know. Maybe another Bible story about hemorrhoids. Anything could be happening.
It could happen.
Anything could happen. So until then, though, goodbye, pellet.
See you, patch.
Oh my gosh, you look like Ariel, the Little Mermaid.
Why do I look like Ariel?
Well, you've got the aqua blue and you've got your pearls. You're great. Like, you look like a Little Mermaid. Where are your shell? Actually, never mind.
That's funny that never you mind. See aqua, because this is actually very green.
Oh, I know which one that is now. Okay. Yep. It's your real bright green.
With my sleeves that dangle. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, it looked kind of like a light. It looks kind of light aqua, but green. That's, you can be Ariel. Wasn't her little tail green?
She was green. Yeah.
She was green.
Because she's a fish.
You're a mermaid. I know, but some of the tails are like orange and stuff, I feel like.
It's my shell bra that I'm wearing, isn't
it? You need your, that's what it is.
We're not shells big enough.
We're off to
conscious shells.
We're off to a good start.